This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The night of power, the night of Qadr. What takes place in this night? Firstly, Allah says in the Quran, after Allah starting to Bismillah ar-Rahim, Inna al-Tayn, afwan. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil Qadr. That verily we sent the Quran down in the night of power, in the night of Qadr. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. And what will allow you to know what the night of power is? لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. The night of Qadr, the night of power decree, is better than 1,000 months. So that is one of the great virtues of Qadr, of this night, because whatever you do equates to doing that deed for 1,000 months. Means what? If you were to pray that night, you would receive much more reward than a regular day outside of Ramadan or in Ramadan, because of the reward equates to 1,000 months. That's why he said it's better than 1,000 months. So that's what that Muslims are searching for in the last 10 days of Ramadan. But we can safely say that it is definitely one of the odd nights of Ramadan. Maybe the 27th, maybe the 29th, maybe the 23rd, maybe the 25th, maybe the 21st. Okay? So that's what the Laylatul Qadr is. And as I mentioned, you will find in the mosques on that night, it will be packed, outside of it being packed regularly in Ramadan, in the nights of Ramadan. Okay? What did we say was Layl? We said that the nighttime, prayer in the nighttime. The nighttime, what kinds of prayers are there? Firstly, the nighttime spans from when to when? After Isha to Fajr. That's the nighttime. So it's virtuous to pray in that time. And then we said that there's different kinds of prayers. When you come in, what's one of the night prayers? What's the last prayer of the day? Isha. Very good. You have Isha. Isha Salat. Then after that, in Ramadan, you'll have something called right, Tarawih. That's the one that you'll find a lot of Muslims praying like 8 units, right? Or 10, or excuse me, 20, right? So that's what is distinguished. Ramadan is distinguished by that on a generic level. When you walk into a mosque, they're praying Isha. Then after that, you're going to see a lot. First, you're going to walk in the mosque, say, why are a lot of Muslims here for Isha? Oh yeah, it's Ramadan. They're praying Tarawih, right? So after Isha, they'll wait maybe like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then they'll get up and then they'll start praying. You won't know. You just know that they're praying Isha, then people are doing their prayers, then the imam gets up, Allahu Akbar. He may mention some logistical, you know, house duties or whatever for the mosque or whatever. You know, an administrator may get up and say, just remember your parking, don't park here, your shoes, you know, your children, make sure your children are with you and all that kind of stuff. Then the imam will just get up and say, Allahu Akbar, and they'll start praying. That is Tarawih prayer. Right? That's only in Ramadan. After that, that's when, you know, they'll pray the witr prayer. And the witr, we said, is, you know, an optional odd number of rakats. Who remembers what a rakat is? A unit of prayer. A unit of prayer is what to what? What's considered a unit of prayer? Say it again. Ruku and sujood. Two sujoods, right? Tashahhud, okay. Good, good. So one unit of prayer is from standing position to standing position after the second sujood. Right? So it's Allahu Akbar. Then what do I do here? So then after I say Allahu Akbar, what do I do? What? Recite Fatiha. Very good. Then after I recite Fatiha, I can recite what? Any other chapter, right? Then after that, what do I do, Zach? Allahu Akbar. Let's do this. Yeah, let's go. She's passing out laughing. Don't make fun of me. All right. We're going to do that, actually. This is a good thing. I used to do this when I used to teach Muslims. Every position, you used, like, from each position, you discuss what happens in that position. Then after that, you go. Then after that, you go. All right? Just want to make sure we get the prayer right. I mean, this is wrong. Tell me what to do, man. I'm the prayer robot. Come on.
Put your hands over your head, like behind your ears. No. Don't touch your ears.
Behind my ears? Why?
I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be behind your ears, guys. You'll find some people do this. Right? It's just a matter of just putting your hands up, shoulder length. Right, just up here. So what do I do here? Tell me what to do. Teach me how to pray, Zach. I've been inspired by you as a new Muslim, and I you know, I'm a Muslim today, and you know, the thing that you were doing, I felt some kind of way. The prayer thing. Teach me how to do it, Zach.
Okay, so how can you do that?
That should be the name of a show. Teach me how to do it, Zach. You should make up your own. All right, go ahead. Okay.
If you want to, some people do, some people don't. And then you recite
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. Oh no, now it's Selena's turn. Say by Selena. Selena. What is this posture called, ladies and gentlemen? Ruku, bowing position. R-U-K-U. You know the little channel thing that you have? Yeah. So when you see that, and who knows, maybe Allah within his predestination. He's already knows. You just put it down and then you do this right here. See? The angels are watching. Allah's watching. Within every... Amazing. It's just amazing. Okay. Selene, talk to us. Right. And here, what do you say? Glory to Allah, the greatest, or the most great, right? Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. So you just say, glory to Allah, the great. Glory to Allah, the great. Glory to Allah, the great. How many times? Any odd number amount of time. You can say, glory to Allah the Great, and you're done. One time. Preferable three, or even more than that, right? Okay? So what do I say? Subhan Rabbi al-Azim. Subhan Rabbi al-Azim. Subhan Rabbi al-Azim. What is it? Say it again. Go. Mm-hmm. So when you come up here, you don't say Allahu Akbar. You just come up and say, Semi Allahu liman hamida. Right? Okay. Rabbana wa lakal hamd. All right. She's been waiting. I'm sorry. I don't want to be rude. Yeah. Who can help her? Allahu Akbar.
Say what? Subhan Rabbi al-A'la, Subhan Rabbi al-A'la, Subhan Rabbi al-A'la. What is this called? Sujood, prostration. Okay, next. Allahu Akbar.
Stand all the way up. Rubbing fairly. Rubbing fairly. Rubbing fairly.
And then go back and push it
to the Jew. Do I say anything? Allahu Akbar.
Subhan Rabbi al-A'la. Subhan Rabbi al-A'la. Subhan Rabbi al-A'la. Allahu Akbar.
That's a rakat. From standing position all the way down, back up. Okay? So that's a rakat. All right, so that was just one rakat, right? That is one and odd or even number? Odd. Odd in Arabic means what? So we said, when you in the Isha prayer, first is what? You have, or sorry, the night prayer, you have Isha. Then you have what? Then you have what? Witr. Very good. Right? Tarawih can be whatever even number. And witr is? Yep. After every two, you do Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. Four. That's how we? It's in pairs, always in pairs. You could do more than that.
So like seven, you could do two, and you do four, you could do six.
But you said every time you finish one, you have to salam, right?
Yeah. No, well, for Tarawih, it's pairs. So if you do two rakats, then two rakats, then two rakats, then two rakats, then two rakats, right? So that'd be 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20. In a typical mosque, you'll see them do this much. Right? And then they'll end it off with, most of the times, they'll end it off with three rakats here. You with me? Now, they could have just done one if they wanted to. If they wanted to do one. Just what I did, after they do those 20, they could just do just what I did. Right? Or what you'll find them, most of the mosques still do, they will offer three. So I'll come up, I'll do my first one, come up how I just came up, do it again. Then after my second prostration, stay in the kneeling position. Right? And then the right? And then do salamu alaykum rahmatullah, salamu alaykum rahmatullah. Then come back up and do one more. Sometimes it does. I know it seems kind of confusing. Some will just come up. They won't sit in the kneeling position after the second one. They'll just come right back up and finish with three. Okay? You got me? Right? So you could technically say sometimes it's just like they just do one because they added. But just in any case, know that they generally do like 20. And then they'll do an odd number after. You don't have to stay for all 20. Like I said, there'll be some Muslims, they'll come to the masjid and they'll join the congregation. of 20, but then they will leave after 2, 4, 6, 8. They'll leave after this. They'll leave. They won't finish the rest. Majority of the congregation will leave after this. You're going to see a lot of people leaving. You're going to be like, it's totally fine. Right? You got me? You understand? Okay. So that is, all of that is included within the night prayer. Right? What else do we say about winter? Ibrahim, you know how to fix this PowerPoint thing? Okay. Yep, what else did we say about the night prayer? Oh, I'm listening, guys. Don't worry. I'm listening. Yep. What else did we say about winter? That winter should be the last prayer of the night. It should be the last prayer of the night. So before you go to sleep is when you want to pray winter. So you'll find people, they'll pray 8, but then you'll ask yourself, why didn't they pray what? Winter. Because they probably have stuff to do. You don't want to go eat or something like that. So they'll wait till they finish all their responsibilities, and then they will pray winter before they go to sleep. All right? Everyone with me? Yes? All right. So that's the night prayer. That's generally what you're going to see in Ramadan. When I talked about Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, it's going to be packed. Number one. The last 10 days as well are some specific things that happen on the last 10 days. I don't think I covered this. But the last 10 days, who knows what takes place in the last 10 days? Have any of y'all, are any, oh, women don't like to be asked their age. Okay, I'm 42, right? 43, right? There was a movie that we used to watch. It's called Ferris Bueller's Day Off. You ever heard of that movie? Man, I'm that old.
Wait, tell me about it real quick. I might
not. Ferris Bueller ditches school, and the whole movie's about him skipping school. All right. So the first thing that would take place in the last 10 days is what? The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, used to stay in the mosque. He used to have a spiritual retreat, if you will, in the mosque. He would not leave the mosque. So he would sleep, wake up, live, sleep, right? 10 nights. So it's spiritual retreat. That's the first thing. So that those 10 days, the Prophet ﷺ would not leave the mosque. He would pray. And the purpose of this is to have undivided attention and kind of turn into, for lack of better words, monk status, right? To totally detach himself, right? And to have his undivided attention in prayer, recitation of the Quran, dhikr. And a lot of times, you know, when you make, it's called i'tikaf, when you make the spiritual retreat, it really cleanses the soul. Why? How many of you have heard about meditation nowadays? Aren't they speaking a lot about meditation? Right. Mindfulness. That is all a part of this whole program. Right? If you're sitting in the mosque and you're just thinking about life, you're concentrating, you're pondering. Right? That's huge. That is your meditation. There's no distractions. Right? There's no, I got to hustle, go here, get there. As soon as you get there, you know, hustle and bustle. Right? With that is a huge benefit. I've made this spiritual retreat numerous times. It's very, very replenishing for the soul. With this, I would advise, if you plan to do it, don't go to it. Because some people go to a spiritual retreat, but it's like a camp retreat. Like you're hanging out with all of your friends. You're talking. You know, you may talk about, oh yeah, back when I wasn't Muslim, man. Oh man. Oh man, throw a couple of astaghfirullahs in there. May Allah forgive us, may Allah forgive us. Yeah, right. And then y'all eat, hang out, chill, you know, get on your YouTube. Look at this guy doing this. Check this out. Right? Oh, you have, you know, you have the new iftar food. Oh my. None of that, right? You don't want to do any of that for these last 10 days. It's preferable to go to a mosque that no one knows you. No one knows you, right? You want to go to a place where no one knows you because you don't want any distractions. That's the whole purpose of it, of i'tikaf. Now, does it have to be 10 days? No, it could be 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. The whole purpose is to have this take place for your mind, body, and soul, right? Another thing is, on this night, you will find that they will have the last third prayer. You know how I mentioned Tarawih? Right? There will be, and Tarawih, roughly, let's say Isha is at 10 o'clock, right? Let's say Isha comes in at, or the congregation prays at 10 p.m. Tarawih will come in, you know, Isha, how long does Isha last? Ooh. Zach is like, no, we caught you. It's okay. Zach, no, we got to get you, right? Zach's like, I'm in my zone. I'm too much with Allah at that time, so I don't really know. An hour, 10 minutes, what's, you know, as long as you're with Allah. Right? That's what it is. My man, Zach. Isha's about like, Isha's maybe like 10 minutes. So let's say 10:15 p.m. Tarawih will start. Tarawih is roughly, let's say about 30, 35, 40 minutes, right? So that'll be what? It'll end at like what? 10:45, okay? Then if you want to pray witr or not, that's if you pray 20, I'm saying. But if you prayed maybe like 8, it may end at like what? 10:25. Let's say 10:20, right? If you prayed 8. If you prayed 20. Tayyip. The last third of the night will come in probably around 1 a.m. No, I'm sorry. 3 a.m. So you will find that people will come back here at 3 a.m. to pray in congregation. Now, these prayers will be slightly different. They'll recite a little longer. They'll be in a long prostration, long sujood, because this is like the time, the golden time. The last third of the night is the best time to pray outside of the congregational five prayers. So you really want to be spiritually energized and totally connected with Allah. Like, you don't want any distractions. This is the time you ask Allah for your sick mother, your sick father, your sick relative. Things that you would ask for in other times. But this time in his rukur, it's going to be a long rukur. It's the sunnah. You know, this in this prayer, that they should be in a longer rukur, a long sujood. Right? And that's when you ask Allah, you know, cry out to him. That is the time, 3 a.m. So that'll last roughly about maybe 30 minutes. How many rakats do they pray? May pray 4, doesn't matter. It's not a certain number. Okay? Then right after that, you'll have maybe about an hour or so, and that is when they will have the Fajr prayer. Because Fajr is going to come in, right, guys? So that is another distinguishing factor for the last 10 days, that you will have this. You will have, you know, these three things. Now, it's optional for you to do this. All these are optional except Fajr, right? So that is something that you'll find within the last 10 days. Within these last 10 days, remember, you're going to be looking for what? Laylatul Qadr, the night of power. Right? That's what you're going to be searching for. Anyone have any questions so far? Any questions? Yes. 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 That's the last third of the night. Because the last third of the night is one of the most... Sorry? You can pray any time of the night. But this is the most virtuous time of the night to pray, is the last third of the night. Who remembers what they call this? You don't have to worry about the Arabic name, but some of you may have heard it. Who remembers? The prayer that is in the last third of the night. Y'all heard of tahajjud before? Tahajjud. So tahajjud is the best prayer after the five obligatory prayers. Any day of the week. Any night of the week. You don't have to. If you want. You can do it any day of the year. It doesn't have to be 3 a.m. I'll just give an example. It's the last third of the night. So if you were to look at Isha as 10 p.m., right? All. I'm about to, hold on. See, oh. If you have 10 p.m. is when Isha comes in, right? Right? I'm not going to trick you. She's looking like 10 p.m. Then you have Fajr comes in at 5 a.m. So just be 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's say 6. Let's say 6 a.m. Let's say it comes at 6 a.m. So that's 8 hours. You just try to divide that into thirds and then take the last third. That's it. Okay? Yeah, the only, and why these 10 days? Why are we saying 10 days? Because what? You're searching for what? You're searching for that. 5 days? Of course. You could do one. If you don't do any, it's fine.
It's just if you have, like, let's say you do it and it just happens to be night for you. It's obviously that night's going to be
right. Right. So if you had, like, for instance, you have to attend school or something, you could choose your days. Okay, I'm going to choose the odd days, the odd nights, right? That's what I would do if I were you. You know, just make sure you choose an odd night. If you only have one night, then I'd say, okay, the 27th night is what I'm going to make sure to be here around whenever they do it, 3 a.m., 2 a.m., 4 a.m., doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be at the mosque. It's even better if it's at home by yourself. That's the best situation. Just remember this. The best prayers are the prayers that are offered by yourself except the congregation, except the five prayers. Remember that as a general rule. Right? The five prayers, it's best to offer them in congregation at the mosque. In general. For the men. In general. For the men. Right? Other than that, it's better to pray by yourself. Inshallah ta'ala. Everyone got that? We're having some technical difficulties. But it's all good in the neighborhood. All right. Say it again. Yeah, it's not going through for some reason. Don't know. Yeah, it should be. That's what he's been doing. I think it's Oh, Ibrahim, I think it may be something with the connection on the here. You did it? So it's not?
He said try Chromecasting.
Chromecasting. Okay, where's the Chromecasting? Where's the... Let me see. Project. Does the... Duplicate. Connect to a wireless display. Does a what is this EB4308? And there's a Samsung 6 TV series. I don't know if it's that there, but it's an EB4. Does that have its own internet connection? The project? That's the EB4?
Yes.
Okay, can you turn that on real quick? Is it on? Okay, if I press the button, it'll come on. You need to turn the TV on. All right. So when we're talking about these last 10 days, all right, let me connect. It says connecting to it. No signal. It says it's connecting. All right, so when we talk about these last 10 days, those are the virtuous actions of the last 10 days, is to be involved in the masjid as much as possible, right? And to try to pray the night prayers as much as possible, you know, within yourself. And it doesn't have to be prayer. It could be reading Quran. It could be calling up a relative that you haven't talked to in a long time. It could just be trying to do general good deeds. And that's what the Prophet, his wife, said about him. Okay, so after we reach the last 10 days, we have, how much time do we have? All right, before I do that, I just want to do a brief review, because I don't want to seem as you've wasted your time these past couple of weeks that y'all have come here, right? What day, what month is Ramadan? It's the blank month. Ninth, very good. Oh, I don't know if we covered this. What does Ramadan mean? Ramadan means, some would say, heat or to burn.
Yeah, that's exactly. That was like an hour ago.
Heat or to burn. And the connection with that is, it is a month in which the sins are burned away, right? So your sins that you have, Ramadan is an opportunity to where they will be burned away. So that's what the meaning of Ramadan. So we said it's the ninth month of the year. How do we determine the entrance of Ramadan? Huh? By the moon. And what do we call that?
Crescent.
And that's called that. What system is that called? Using the lunar calendar, right? So if you want to tell someone that's non-Muslim, how do y'all, Ramadan, when does it start? Well, it starts, you know, we go by, Muslims, we follow the lunar calendar. They don't understand that, just say, well, that's by the sighting of the moon determines the beginning of the, ish? Beginning of the? Ramadan, or the beginning of the? Fast, yeah? The beginning of the month. Yep. Or the beginning of the month. So in the middle, the way you can tell the middle of the month on a lunar calendar is if you see a full moon outside. That's the way you can determine the middle of the month, is if it's a full moon outside. Okay. When does the fast start? Well, you're fasting the next morning, yeah. So if Maghrib comes in right now, we would go outside. If we see the crescent moon, we know that that's the beginning of Ramadan. So the next morning is when we fast. But when do you start your fast? Next morning is too vague, Abdullah. What do you mean morning? Come on, man. Is there a difference between dawn and sunrise? Remember we talked about this? When there is a horizontal twilight. So basically on a prayer app, does anyone have a prayer schedule app?
No.
What you will see sometimes is you will see Fajr, for instance, it'll say Fajr. Yes, 7-Eleven. Yes, so exactly. So when does Fajr come in? Now, this is a great question. So when do you start fasting, 6:02 or 7:11? Sorry? 6:02 is when you should start fasting. So when Fajr, that's when Fajr comes in. So at 6:03, you can do what? Exactly. You can even pray if you want. Right? The best time to pray is as soon as it comes in. Just a side note. Okay? So 6:03 is when you should start fasting. Okay, when does Maghrib come in? So when should you break your fast? 7:50, right? So you break your fast as soon as Maghrib comes in. What can you do after that when you break your fast that you couldn't do while you were fasting? Yeah, you can eat, drink, and be intimate, right? Those are the three things that you can do that you couldn't do from fasting. All right, what if you were to eat, drink, or be in, if you were to eat or drink and you forgot? It was 12:07 and 53 seconds. Hold on. You forgot and you remember. So you're like,
yeah.
I forgot. I remember. Huh?
You just start over. You just fast.
You continue to fast, but you have to make that day up.
Okay. Anyone else? An honest mistake. You know, I've always asked people, I used to make fun of people, especially when I was in the hospital, they say, it was an honest mistake. I'm like, so what's a dishonest mistake? You ever thought of that? You ever thought of that? Yeah, sorry, it was a dishonest mistake. I really meant to make the mistake, but I wanted to lie and like the, oh, that's what a dishonest mistake is, okay. Right, so if you forgot and you ate or drank, what? You keep fasting? Are you sure?
If it was not intentional,
keep fasting? Do you have to make it up though? She said, she was like, when she said yes, all of you were like, no. She's like, yes, no. No, you don't have to make it up. You don't. If you forgot during the day and you ate or drank, you don't have to make it up. Okay? All right. Everyone with me? Because we're about to go over the what's important. We had this little chart there. It's important. Someone traveling, do they have to fast?
No.
They don't have to fast. Do they have to make it up?
Yes.
Okay. Someone that has a mild sickness, do they have to fast?
No.
Do they have to make it up?
Yes.
Someone that has dialysis, you know what dialysis is? Goes through dialysis. Do they have to fast?
No.
Do they have to make it up?
No.
What do they have to do?
Be a fasting person. Yes. Or no, a homeless person. Or less fortunate person.
Which one?
Less fortunate.
A poor person. Right? Okay. For every day. that they cannot fast. Okay. What do they feed them? Snickers bar? Say that again? No, I didn't hear you. Whatever their means are, roughly it should be that which is, generically speaking, for nowadays, around $8 to $10 meal. All right? One person per day missed. Yeah. Or, that's a good question. Yeah. Or, you could feed 30 people at one time. No. Or. Yeah, there you go. One gathering. Can invite them all over your house, you know. So that's another option. So, all right. An elderly man or woman that has been advised not to fast by a physician or two or three or more.
No.
Does he or she have to fast?
No.
Why?
Because it's detrimental to their health.
Detrimental to their health, says the nurse. Right? Exactly. They don't have to fast. So think about it like this. Do they take the characteristic of the sick person, or does the sick person take the characteristic of the elderly? They both have a characteristic that if they were to fast, it could be detrimental to their health. Which brings us to the last category. What's your son's name? I forgot his name.
Jackson.
What's up, Jackson? How you doing? Bored. I actually don't like you because you're the reason I'm bored. Can you give us a drum roll, Jackson? Let's get a drum roll. Please. Please, Jackson. Just one drum roll, Jackson, for the gram. All right, my man, Jackson. My man. That's okay. We still love you, Jackson. All right? The pregnant woman that does not fear for herself. Can she fast? She doesn't fear that if I fast, it's detrimental to my health.
Oh, yeah.
She can fast, okay. The pregnant, the nursing woman that does not fear for her child. Can she fast? Should she fast?
No.
Oh, of course it's personal. And it's like, sister, you must sure you're pregnant. Oh, very good question. Yeah, it's her judgment. Right. Which leads me to the next question. If she fears for herself and her child. She has to make it up. And some, you'll find some say make it up and feed a poor person. Got me? Is everyone with me? Yes? Like, making up your fast. How much time do you have? My guy, he's mad. I used to be a kid like, I want to run. I don't want to sit down, man.
Yeah.
I want to run. There's no bad. Alhamdulillah. What was that?
Between the Ramadans.
Between the Ramadans. Very good. Very good. Okay. So, yes and no. So, do I have to answer that question?
Yes.
Okay.
Some days are sunnah.
Very good. Yes. Outside of Ramadan, there are some optional days to fast. Okay? Those days are... Can we get a drum roll? No, a drum roll. Those days are... Mondays and Thursdays, and what other days? The day, and why the 13th, 14th, and 15th? Why? Very good. What are white days? Whoa. You look very mad when you said that. We got to clarify. The days of the white moon. Remember I said that the moon is full, it's a full moon in the middle of the month, the lunar calendar. Don't make the mistake, it's January 6th, man. This is, No, the days of the white moon. So basically, the white moon has surpassed us maybe by a week, because we're like a week away from Ramadan, right? Yeah. Right? So the days of the white moon is another day to fast as well. All right? So, sorry? You know, when there's a full moon, it's white. They call it, in Arabic, they say ayyam al-bid, because when the moon is radiant, when it's white, it's like very radiant. I mean, the moon is not. Yeah, no, seriously, yeah. You don't realize it. Have you ever, like, woken up in the middle of the night and it's not dark? I mean, have you ever thought about that? Yeah. You go out, it's not dark. It's, you go outside, you can see. That's because of the moon. Oh, that's true, yeah.
The moonlight
was. Exactly. You don't even think about it. Like, you wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning, right? You would think it's dark outside, but it's not. I'm talking about outside the street lights, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, outside the street lights. I'm never outside the street lights. Yeah, now that is, there's some dark in the day. Like, there's no street lights.
Yeah, no street lights. If you a certain part of the night, you, if it's a full moon,
yeah,
it'll be radiant. I mean, you'll look up in the sky and it'll, you know, you'll see the moon. Yes. Right. So that's the, so the 13th, 14th, and 15th is also a good day to fast outside of Ramadan. And there's also another time. Who knows? Oh. Yeah, you're like there. You're close. Yep, after this month. How many days? 6. And that's the month of Shawwal. That is the month called Shawwal. Shawwal. This is the month after Ramadan. It's called Shawwal. So this is the 10th month. Very good question. Are those 6 days immediately after Ramadan? It's best to do them. When I say it's best, let's just say it has to be 6 days within Shawwal. Some would prefer that it's immediate 6 days, 6 consecutive days after Shawwal. But it doesn't necessarily have to be 6 days after Shawwal. The most important thing is that it is in the month of Shawwal. Right? What if you didn't? What's the question that we're going to ask? I know that y'all are going to ask me. Nope. What did we just talk about? Oh, makeup. Don't believe everything that you hear. I'm just joking. I'm just joking. I love it, Zach. Tell him, Zach. Keep going. Yeah, right. I know how to motivate Zach. I was like, tell him. He's like, yeah. He was like, okay, the days that you haven't made up are obligatory, so what's that? Can you?
See, when you give us that look from your past experiences, it makes me want to say no now.
Okay, what about this?
I don't.
And you gotta move the chin. Keep the head still, but just move the chin. That's creepy. What? Okay, I don't know what to do. No, if I was to tell you, I need you to come to Valley Ranch Masjid tomorrow with my $20. You can come tomorrow with, I need you to come to the Valley Ranch Masjid tomorrow with my $20. I need you to come to Masjid when? With what? Okay. But I said, you can also, if you want, come any other day of the week with my mask. Okay? Y'all with me? Which one is a must? When? And which one is up to you? When? Okay. Y'all with me? What if you came tomorrow with my mask? What did you just do? No.
Just the mask.
Just the mask. Did you do what I gave you an option to do? What I gave you an option to do? I'm going to ask the question again. Did you fulfill the option? But did you fulfill the obligatory request?
No.
So you preferred the option over your responsibility, right? So let's look at it in this situation now. Do y'all understand what I just said? Okay. Now let that sink in. Dun, 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 dun. Okay. Now, what did we talk about with the 6 days of Shawwal? Is it an option?
Yes.
Making up Ramadan, is it an option?
Yes. No,
making up the days you missed in Ramadan?
No, option.
It's not an option. So which one should be what?
The obligatory.
Which one should be?
It
should be performed first or fulfilled first.
Yeah.
My $20. Tomorrow or else, right? All right, so Ramadan is my $20 tomorrow. Shawwal, the 6 days of Shawwal is what? The mask any day you want to this month. Did I answer the question? That's what all that time is. What do you mean occasion? Yeah.
So there's no need to double dip, basically.
No need to double dip. No.
No, I'm looking up with these 6 days, I'm also adding this to my balance of making up.
I like the word balance, yeah. Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
Now but now that I said all of that, I'm about to hit you with something. You ready? I hope all of this is knowledge, right? Are you ready? Okay. This is just one opinion. I gave it to you this way so you can understand, because when you face certain Muslims, they may tell you something, and it's good for you to just say, okay, thank you. But you have knowledge now because you know that's an opinion. And you understand the logic behind it, right? Because I give you the money, everybody, money, everybody. Money? Everybody's gonna understand what money, talks. Tomorrow. Zach, tomorrow, man. I shouldn't have told that in front of everybody. Okay, well, yeah, it's in front of everybody, man. I'm the teacher. All right? Some people would say, okay, if I want, I guess I'll use the same analogy. Look, $20 is okay, man. Since you're a nice guy, just the remainder of the year, as long as it doesn't reach this month again, the remainder of the year, just pay my $20, bro. Because, you know, taxes, and I got to get my money. I want to, you know, I want to buy this new, he's looking dead at me, Michelle. When I said, he said, buy this new what? Right? So in that analogy, it is as though Allah is saying, look, you have the remainder of the year to make it up, that obligatory day. And because I am Ar-Rahman, merciful, not me, but Allah, I will leave you to make it up the rest of it. So you have 11 months. Shawwal is 1 month. Take advantage of the Shawwal, man. Right? Okay. Oh, the last type of person. The individual on their vacation, the woman that's on her vacation. Right? Those days, can you fast? The vacation. That which happens with women and doesn't happen with men at a certain time of the month. Yes. Yes. Can women fast on that day or those days? No. Not allowed to fast. Do you have to make them up?
Yes.
You have to make them up. What if you want to fast Shawwal, but you know, that vacation is roughly around 2 weeks. 2 weeks, maybe almost three. Some people can reach up to roughly 15 days. It ranges. Ranges. What does she do then?
She can if she feels like she can, right?
Yeah.
Like if she feels like she can fast without, you know, feeling.
And she's on vacation?
I thought that was like her choice.
No. No. Sorry, we're kind of, I guess you say Republican on this part.
I think that guy that was here, he had that.
He asked a good, it was a good question.
He asked the same question.
It was a good question. You know, why, if she wants to, why can't she? Right? It was a good question. But in this case, Allah says no, there's no, she's not allowed to pray or fast. Right? So she can make them up, inshallah. So those are the general categories that we talked about. And that includes every person, right? Can a person fast if they're traveling? Can they? Are they allowed to? Right? They're allowed to. Well, the ease is not fasting when traveling. You have the option if you're traveling. Okay. What is the last day of Ramadan? What is it called? Eid. It's just called Eid. It's called Eid. And Eid comes from the verb to return or repetition. To return or repetition. Why do you think it's called that? Why do you think it has a connection with repetition or to turn? Mm. It comes every year. Yeah. You can say that for anything. But we don't say Eid the Ramadan, Eid the Salah. Are you going to go pray Eid? You're going to, you know, we're going to pray Fajr. Oh, Eid Fajr? No, we don't do it like that. Like, you don't do it like that. But in this case, we say Eid. So Eid is the day. It's the next day. So let's say we wanted to find out, how do we determine the beginning of a month again? So just as we wait to see the crescent moon for the beginning of Ramadan, we'll wait to see the crescent moon for the beginning of what? No. For the beginning of what? Yes. Which is what? Shawwal. Right? You ever heard those? Anyway. Yeah, Shawwal. That's how we determine the beginning of the month, right? So just as we, for Ramadan, we saw the crescent moon, that means the next day at Fajr we do what? Fast. So if we see the crescent moon for the next month after Ramadan, which is Shawwal, that means the next day we do what? We do what? Nope. Let me start over. You don't have to go as fast as I speak. You can just wait, think about it, okay? Seeing the crescent moon to determine if it's the beginning of Ramadan, right? If you were to see the crescent moon, or the masjid says we saw the crescent moon, that marks the beginning of Ramadan, right? Right? That's at Maghrib, like coming up, okay? You go to sleep. You wake up. In your mind, you know that Fajr that day, you have to do what? No, you have to fast. Yeah. No. The crescent moon marks the beginning of Ramadan, Maghrib. The next day in the morning, Fajr, what do you have to do? No, that will start the fast for Ramadan. Y'all with me? Yes, it marks the beginning of Ramadan.
And you said the next morning.
Yeah. Yeah. You wake up and then fast. Yeah. It marks the beginning of Ramadan. The crescent moon marks the beginning of Ramadan.
Like,
yeah.
I thought you were asking.
No, I was. It's exactly what you said. The crescent moon marks the beginning of Ramadan. The next morning, you wake up and do what?
Fast,
right? Okay, fast forward. This is 30 days. All right. We're on the 29th day. Asr, now, right? We see the crescent moon. We're told we see the crescent moon, right? After Maghrib, they're going to see the crescent moon. Or before Maghrib, they'll see the crescent, right? When they see the crescent, that marks the beginning of what now? Shawwal, which means it's the first day of Eid. Eid is basically the first day of Shawwal. Exactly. That's why I'm trying to go step by step by step. I was about to get a blanket in here and go to sleep. You sleep. You wake up, get a toothbrush in my bed. You brush your teeth. Exactly. What is the end of the month? Oh, and I can get kind of poetic. What is the end of the month except the beginning of the latter? Was that good? No. What is the end of the month except the beginning of the next one? Right? So Eid is the first day of Shawwal. Everyone listening? It is impermissible to fast on this day. No. But I want to make up a fast, man. Not on this day. Why? Say it again. Or 30, right. It's to mark the end of Ramadan. So it is as though Allah is saying, I want every single Muslim to acknowledge the conclusion of this beautiful month by eating. SubhanAllah, it's amazing if you think about it. Not only that, don't just eat. Have fun, like party. Party, right? Like halal party. It was in the air, it was like party. Halal party. It's not like Allahu Akbar, break out the Heineken, Allahu Akbar, Bismillah Rahim. No. Yeah, I'm not even gonna mention that. So Shawwal is the first day. That is Eid. Okay? So that's the day that you will see on Maghrib prayer. If you come here to find out if it's gonna be Eid the next day, because it may not. They may not see the moon, so you got it. Then you know the next day Shawwal is gonna be at Maghrib. You got that? But if it is that day, you'll see, subhanAllah, Muslims hugging each other, congratulating each other. Let's say, mashallah, congratulations, Eid. What's the congratulations? What do they say? Okay. Yeah. Eid Mubarak. They'll say, Eid Mubarak. Mubarak just means blessed. May you have a blessed Eid. That's all that means. All right? Now, you will find that some people will celebrate Eid for 3 days. Is it technically wrong? No. Is it technically a sunnah? No. Eid is one day. One should celebrate the Eid one day. They should have fun. They should go out with each other. Give gifts. You know, how many of you celebrate Christmas? Oh, Christmas. Come on. Yeah, 11:59. You're waiting by the tree. You know, you're hoping Santa Claus comes down. He never came down. You're disappointed. Should I be disappointed in my mom? Should I be disappointed? Right? So that day, give presents to your loved ones. Go visit each other. And this is common for converts, that we don't have that mechanism. We don't have a Muslim family. Right? You will find this. Like me, for Eid, I didn't have a family. You're literally leaving the masjid, and I hope this doesn't happen to you, but it's common, and we mentioned this to the community numerous times. You're leaving for the masjid after praying salah, right? You see the sisters, mashallah, you're in, I think this may be the sisters area, I don't know, right? So I'm like, oh, mashallah, oh, sister, you look nice. You know, Eid, you also wear your best, like, you know, for y'all it'll probably be, I don't know, right? For us it'll be the, you know, you wear your best clothes, right? You come out, you say, assalamu alaikum, everybody, how are you? Oh, this is so-and-so, oh, sister, how are you doing? Oh, brother, mashallah, this brother, so, blah, blah, boom, 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 bada, bada, boom, bada, bing, right? You walk out, brother, where are you going? Oh, yeah, man, you know, got to go, grandma, the whole family thing, we're going to go, the whole family, right? Okay, see you later, assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, brother, y'all going to go get some coffee? No, bro, I got to go with the family, the whole family's going to, and these are all Muslim families. Next thing you know, you end up at your car, start your car, you're like, man, where am I going to go? I have nowhere to go. And you start to think, man, everybody's going with their family. I don't have a Muslim family to go to. That's when it can get kind of sad and depressing for a lot of people. I wouldn't do it. I literally went back to my house and just played video games. Not now. I mean, when I was much younger. Not like it was last year or anything like that. No, but that is something that is very, very important. And I make an effort to articulate that to communities. Why? Because there needs to be an effort that is made for people that left Christianity, left atheism, left Hinduism, left, and their families don't know and sometimes don't care about this, about any of this. Right? So Eid is a day of celebration. You know, we used to have, you know, when I mentioned this organization that started New Year, we used to have convert potlucks. So people that are converts to Islam don't have anywhere to go on this day. You want to make this day special. If you have children, right, make this day special. Make it special. Like, go to the park. go travel. You want them to feel that this is the best, one of the best days of the year. It's not December 25th. It's not January 1st. It's the day after Ramadan, right? Like I have this session that I do with the psychiatrist. We just did it yesterday. It was for our community. And he said, when I think of Eid, I tell people chocolate chip mint ice cream. He said, I'm going to be honest. I don't remember all that Ramadan stuff as a kid. What I remember is that my dad used to take us after the Eid Salah, when you talk about Eid Salah, after the Eid prayer, to go get chocolate chip mint ice cream. He said, I'm a psychiatrist, and he's in his 30s or early 40s. He said, I still remember this. This is my favorite day of the year, right? So when you have fun, mothers, fathers, don't have from what you perceive as fun. Have from what you know what your kids understand is fun. Just a side point. So Eid marks that day. Now, last thing we're going to cover. Is everyone with me? After this, we're done. All right? Is the Eid Salah. And Eid al-Fitr. Y'all said Eid al-Fitr, right? Fitr just means that which one can eat. Or to break or cleave something, right? So when you say Eid al-Fitr, it is the Eid, it is the charity or the zakat that is actually given, right? We have the zakat from the five pillars of Islam. That is a different zakat. We are not talking about that zakat. We are talking about the zakat that should be given upon Eid day, okay? This zakat is roughly in modern times, $8 to $10. Every mosque will have a group, or they will have a service to where you can give them that $8 to $10, and that $8 to $10 is used to feed the poor. That is what the zakat al-fitr is for. And subhanAllah, the wisdom behind it is amazing, right? Because the fact that you are fasting, now you are going to give from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you from primarily food. Because in actuality, it should be, as they say, arbatu amdad, it should be four handfuls of a staple food, rice, barley, dates, things of that nature. But due to the fact that that is not a staple food for us in America, it should be a food that can be preserved primarily as a dry staple food. But some scholars made it easy and made the analogy and said, look, the ultimate goal is to feed a poor person, right? So you can go somewhere and buy a meal for $8. Literally, if you're driving and you see someone on the street and they have a sign up, you can give that to them. The best way to give charity is alone when no one knows. Don't forget that. The best way to give charity is alone when no one knows. Why? Because that is that assists you in your sincerity when no one knows. That's why we talked about last third of the night. One of the wisdoms behind praying the last third of the night is that, as the Prophet ﷺ said, he said, وَصَلُّ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامٌ. He said, pray at the nighttime when people are asleep. Because that has to be some kind of motivation to get up in the middle of the night, wash up, and pray. Huh? It's difficult. And with every difficulty comes ease. But that difficulty, Allah appreciates every moment of that difficulty. In any case, that zakat al-fitr is that is obligatory upon every single Muslim to pay it or to give it. Now, that zakat al-fitr should be before the prayer, before the Eid prayer. The Eid prayer is in the morning time, roughly. So, Fajr comes in roughly about 6:05. You will find that the mosques will have Eid prayer around 8 a.m. or 10 a.m. or 11 a.m. You will find some mosques will have more than one Eid prayer. You know how you see Jummah? Have you heard of Jummah? They have three of them here, right? They have three. Same thing with Eid. They will have it, why? To facilitate for the congregants. Because not everyone can fit in. And especially now with COVID, everyone's spread out. So Eid will be three. Now the Eid prayer, you will have the prayer and then the khutbah. it is not obligatory to sit for the khutbah. Okay? It is not obligatory. It is highly recommended to come to the Eid prayer. If you cannot, no problem. As long as there are some of the community members that come. Okay? Okay? If you can make it, it's great. Because most time people may be working. I mean, it's 10 a.m. Right? So you don't have to. But it's important that you give that charity before the prayer, or we say prayer time. So you can give it the night before. You will find at the end of Ramadan, they'll say, brothers and sisters, you can give your zakat to the fitr and go to the administration office, or, you know, at the front, you will see, collect your, you'll see it in front of the, when you walk in, they'll say, leave your zakat to the fitr here. That's what they mean by zakat. Al-fitr. Anyone have any questions? Anyone have?
Did you say they placed that this year?
Say it again. Roughly $8 to $10.
Why is it going down? Oh, is it COVID?
No. It's usually around $8 to $10. When was it?
I thought it was 12 last year.
12? Here?
Epic.
At Epic? I've noticed for it to be like around $8 to $10. And the way they determine that is when they determine like the pricing of the actual staple food. Mm-hmm. That's how they would determine it, right? So maybe 12 may range, right? So that's generally the general pricing of it. But the best thing is to actually give the meal. The reason they, you know, you can give it in cash is to make it easier for the community. We're busy, we work, things of that nature. Okay? Please don't forget, the Eid is very, very important. To try your best to make that a day of celebration. It is very, very important. That is one of the wisdoms behind Allah making it obligatory to eat, not to fast. Okay? And then after that, you can fast your 6 days of Shawwal or make up your days of fasting. Does anyone have any questions regarding this? No questions whatsoever? No comments? How did you all find this session, these sessions, these classes?
Informational?
Very helpful. Inshallah, please remember two things. One of them, if you come to the Tarawih, it's not just going to be straight prayer. It is, but there is a nice message that usually is given in between four, after the four rakat. So remember we said here, Tarawih, when we said the Tarawih, right? So you'll find mosques, they'll offer 20. But then some will offer 8, right? Usually at this point, after the 8th, rakats are done, after they're done, here you will find that they'll stop and somebody will come up and give a lecture. The lecture will be maybe about 5 to 10 minutes. And the lecture most likely will contain or will be pertaining to a verse that was read in these 8 rakats. It's going to be pertaining to a verse or subject matter that deals with the Quran. Remember we said this is the month of the Quran. So that's what they're generally going to be talking about. So I would highly advise you all at least to come for 8. And I think here they're going to pray 8 anyway. They're not going to pray 20. At my masjid down the street, we're going to pray 8. We're actually going to pray 2 different. We're going to pray Isha, Tarawih, 8 rakats, then Witr. And then 15 minutes later, we're going to pray another Isha, then another Tarawih, then Witr. Right. And the main reason is because of the distancing. Because between each person, you could have put 3 people there. So in our community, you know, everybody wants to go. I mean, COVID, they couldn't go to the masjid last year. So it's going to be very interesting this year. So we're making 2 congregations. In any case, I would highly advise you, when you're mashallah, you just finished praying 8, to listen to this message. It's a nice little message. That's the first thing. The second thing is after Ramadan, that's when we're going to start our classes here. Okay, we're going to have the book, little book that I wrote, you know, about 10 years ago for converts, okay? And that's where we're going to go into, you know, what is iman, what is the pillar, what is belief, what are aspects of belief in Islam, how to pray, how to make wudu, kind of what we did today with the illustrious individuals that taught me how to pray today, mashallah, tabarakallah, okay? And then we're going to go to history of the Quran. Is the Quran written by God? Was it written by Muhammad? Right? Why do we have it in book form? Was it memorized? What's the deal with that? What is the meaning of sunnah? When we say sunni, what does that mean? You say a hadith of the prophet, who are you to tell me that the prophet said that and that was 1400 years ago? How in the world did you know that? And how is that supposed to be something that I have to believe in? right? We're going to cover that, inshallah, over a period of 12 weeks. I highly implore you all to spread the message and to come, inshallah. Very, very beneficial, inshallah ta'ala. And I found it throughout my years of teaching it that it really answers a lot of questions that you didn't know that you were going to ask in the future, if that makes sense. Like, oh, it's one of those, you know what, I never thought of that. What's the answer? It's one of those, inshallah. Okay? Oh, watch this, guys. A week after Eid. Right? Just remember that. A week after Eid, a week after Eid. Okay? Anyone have any questions? If y'all have any questions, you know, I don't know. No, just, if you have any questions, just you could just leave it with Sister Maria. I think they have there's a group, right? You can ask the questions in the group, and I'll be more than happy to answer them, inshallah. If you have any comments, you know, about Eid or anything of that nature, please leave it in the group.